This is the last class on the Lord's Supper. Those who are preparing for their baptism and reaffirmation of faith would have studied the rest of the chapters already. And this would be the last chapter that we want to bring for you. The Lord's Supper, or the Holy Communion. There are two sacraments that was ordained of God in the New Testament church. The first is baptism, which we have covered last week. The second is the Lord's Supper, or the Holy Communion. Now, the Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper is instituted by Christ. And we bring you to the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which we have read while we were partaking the Lord's Supper, verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood, this do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And so we offer the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to all believers who are born again and baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we take time to examine someone who is in the faith and to explain the significance of this sacrament before they would partake it. And the Lord wants us to know, right, that this sacrament is instituted in order that the people of God may receive God's blessing. This sacrament is a means of grace, a means in which we receive God's favor, God's strengthening, when we partake it according to scriptures. What does God require of us in the partaking of the Lord's Supper? Is to take time to examine ourselves, and we do so once a month. Now, if you live the Christian life, you realize that we are in that tug of war, okay, all the time. Right? There is the flesh that you contend with daily, right, that wars against the Spirit of God that is in you. And this contention pull you away from God. And oftentimes we fall. Oftentimes we sin against God. Oftentimes we walk not according to what God would want us to walk. And if there is no institution of the Lord's Supper, you'll find that the people of God will have no instituted means whereby they come before God to find, in a sense, a place, a season whereby he would take time to examine himself or herself, so that we would be able to let the Spirit of God search our heart. And then, where we have sinned against God, we are able to confess our sins before God. And it's so important that the Christian goes through this process. Do you go through this process daily as a process of self-examination before God? We must not take for granted that we are living right. But as we take time to examine ourselves, the Lord would show us where we have fallen short. And where we have fallen short of the glory of God, right, you find that as we examine ourselves, right, the Lord would grant. Would someone pass him a set of the notes, please? So that we may be able to find strength again to walk with God. Right? Imagine if you have been walking with God and, you know, certain times trudging along. The Lord wants us to not, you know, live our life trudging along, but walking victoriously with the Lord. And in order to help us on this journey, the Lord has instituted this Lord's Supper. And so there are four views that is described in the history of the church concerning what the passage we have read means, right, on the Lord's Supper. Right. First one is what we call transubstantiation. Okay, this is the view of the Roman Catholic Church, and this view is that the bread and the cup is transformed to the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ. If you go to a Roman Catholic church, this is what they would tell you. Okay? And even to some, what we said, some Protestant church, they call themselves, but, you know, they teach that it is the bread and the cup is transformed to actual body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we want us to understand that this is a remembrance feast, right? It by no means it is by no means the actual bread and the actual blood of Jesus Christ, because the Bible tells us that the work, the atoning work of Christ upon the cross, is once and for all. When he said it is finished, it means that the entire redemption work is completed. Right? So it's very interesting that, you know, the Christian faith is at the pivotal point of human history, BC, before Christ, and AD, Anno Domini, the year of the Lord. And so it is during that pivotal time, the climax of human history, that God sent his Son, and that he would be that Lamb of God that would be sacrificed upon the cross for our sins. And so the Old Testament saints would look forward to the Christ to come for the remission of their sins. Right. And we in the New Testament church, living right post New Testament, looks backward, right, to the time when Christ was crucified upon the cross, to find salvation, efficacy of what he had done upon the cross. So the Lord wants us to know, all right, that the crucifixion of Christ is but once and for all. And this you do in remembrance of what Christ would do upon the cross. And this Jesus did instruct the disciples. When we were studying the book of Matthew, You recall the scene of the Last Supper, where the Lord instructed the disciples to go to the upper room, and there, you know, he would a table is prepared where he took partake the last Passover, and he instituted the first Passover. And this our Lord Jesus did when he was upon earth, and all his disciples were instructed during that time, right, when they were assembled according to Christ's instruction in the upper room, right? And this was, as I said, or as we said in today's message, right, that the apostles who followed Jesus Christ were significant players for us to understand the Christian faith, because Jesus instructed them. They were there in the upper room. That's why they were witnesses of the ordinance. They were witnesses of the very Christ. And that's why their testimony, their word carries weight. Right? The Lord wants us to know, right, that whatever that the apostles said, right, through when the Spirit of God show them the truth, it is to reveal Christ for us. So the Word of God tells us that no, it is not the actual blood and the actual body of Christ. So this view of transubstantiation that is taught in the Roman Catholic Church, right, we believe that it is not according to what Scripture has taught. And the proof is that word remembrance, right, that we read in the book in 1 Corinthians 11, that is a remembrance feast. It's not a reenactment. All right, consubstantiation is the other term that is used to describe the Lord's Supper. Right? This is a practice by the Lutheran Church. Right, Martin Luther. We all know that the Protestant Church or the Reformed Church came out of the Roman Catholic Church. And when Martin Luther came out of the Roman Catholic Church, he rejected the view of transubstantiation. Right? But he could not, as an Augustinian monk, as one who is in the Roman Catholic Church all his life, right, deviate very far away, even though he has the Scriptures with him to learn. It took time for spiritual orientation. It takes time for him to unlearn, right, those things that he has learned. So we took time, as we, you know, took time to go to study the Word of God. We took time to unlearn those things that we thought, you know, we understood correctly in the Scriptures. And that is when, you know, Martin Luther, right, came to that conclusion as he read the Scriptures, right, that that it is not the actual body, not the actual blood, but Christ, he says, is in, with, under, around, above, and below the bread and the cup. So it says that, you know, it is not the elements, but within the vicinity of the elements. Okay. And so this view that was taught, right, we reject. Alright, we reject. Right? Although it is not physically the physical body and the blood of Christ, but now when we remember this holy feast, alright, we remember what Christ had done. on the cross, right, for us 2,000 years ago. That remembrance that we read of in 1 Corinthians 11 is with regard to that historical fact, incident. Alright? Then there is also a third view, which believes that the Word of God, the Lord's Supper is symbolic only. Alright? It is a symbol of Christ's sacrifice upon the cross, the breaking of his body, the shedding of his blood, and the purely symbolic. Okay, but we believe, right, in the Presbyterian Church that it is a means of grace. That's the fourth view. Right? What does it mean? Well, we believe that Christ has instituted this, right, in order that the people of God may be spiritually nourished, spiritually strengthened when they partake it, right, with self-examination. That's why you read 1 Corinthians 11. The text is very well explained by the Apostle Paul when he said, "Let a man examine himself." You see, when we examine ourselves, what happens? Well, we make a searchlight into our own lives, and only you know what is going on in your life. And when you realize, hey, there's something that is not right in my life, God provided you a means to make right, spiritually speaking. Right, there is a cleansing effect, right, when you confess your sins before God. Okay, and so this Lord's Supper is instituted as a sacrament so that the people of God can come in a set time as in a congregation, right, whereby they would take time, right, to look into their own lives. And so when you partake the Lord's Supper, do you take time to prepare before you come? You know that this, you know, for us, we partake the Lord's Supper on the second Lord's Day of the month. Right? Do you take time to examine yourselves before you come before the Lord's table? Are you, very busy, with many things, so much so that you have no time to examine yourself? Well, the Lord knew that, we can fall into that state. But He wants us to, be with Him, right? To be walking right with Him, to receive His blessings. And therefore, He has instituted, right, this sacrament as a way in which the people of God may come and make right with God. So as it were, if you were to examine yourself and you confess your sins before God, all right, now, when you become a Christian, we said that God has washed us from all our sins, right? So positionally, we are clean, right? He has washed us from washed our sins from the past, present, and the future, right? So positionally, we are right in the sight of God. We are on the way to heaven. But the Lord wants us to know that presently, all right, sin still is present with us. Okay? We are still in the flesh. And therefore, we are weak and we can still fall. And that's why the Lord provided this means whereby it's a way out for you. We said, after the Lord's Supper, you have if partake rightly with self-examination, you begin with a clean slate. All whatever sins that that is burdening you, right, you confess them, and, the Lord Jesus says, or the Word of God says in 1 John 1:9, that you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So when you do so in faith, right, he cleanses you from all your sins, and as it were, you begin with a clean slate. You begin anew, right? All wiped out, right? All the sins wiped out in that sense, right? Positionally, you begin anew with God. Isn't it a very happy thing? Right? God has provided this means of grace for you. And you also begin with a full slate. You know, not just a clean slate, but a full slate. The Spirit of God is in you to indwell you, to fill you, you know, to help you begin, as it were, anew, afresh. You know, and it gives you energy, spiritual energy. That's what it means when we speak about the partaking the Lord's Supper as a means of grace. Right? And therefore, Paul says that we are not to partake it unworthily. Right? Unworthily means that we are not to partake it without understanding, and we are not to partake it without self-examination. We must know what it means. That's why we have classes. Right? That's why, you know, when the Apostle Paul founded the church in Corinth, he spent 1.5 years to teach the believers there concerning the Word of God, how they are to live, all the counsel of God. He had to take time to go through in order that they may learn, they may know how to live this Christian life victoriously. And we must, you know, be a lifelong learner, okay? Because we know that this is God's instituted means, right, whereby, you know, we can find help with God. That's why we have the adult Sunday school class. Why is it so important for the people of God to be under instruction? Right? Because that's when we receive, right, through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, spiritual nourishment, spiritual health. And the Lord wants us to come with prayer, come with a desire to seek the will of God, to know the purpose of God for our lives. I spend perhaps a larger part, you know, of my Christian life attending adult Sunday school class. Right? More than 10 years, every week you would sit down and every week you would learn the Word of God, study the Word of God, and we study almost the whole Bible, you know. And why do we do that? Well, oftentimes, you know, during that time, I ask myself, you know, why God gave me gave us the strength together with my wife, you know, to sit down and study and learn week after week without let up. Every week we are there. Every week we'll be waiting. Every week we'll be receiving instructions. What for? In order that we may be strengthened, nourished. And my testimony is that whatever it is, you know, God would use, right, the preaching of His Word, the teaching of His Word, to instruct us for the week ahead. And that's what I learned. You know, somehow God's Word is powerful. God's Spirit knows what we need. And God provided for us that needful time whereby we are instructed. And so, the Lord provided this class, as it were, to explain what we are doing concerning the Lord's Supper. And many, many other things concerning the Christian life, which we have to take time to learn, take time to have form a spiritual, solid spiritual orientation for the Lord. So that, you know, the Lord wants us to be able, right, to, in time, right, make other disciples, okay, and do His will. But first, right, we must be prepared. All right. So, and so we said that we reject the transubstantiation, we reject the consubstantiation, we reject the view that it is just symbolic, but we believe, right, that it is a means of grace whereby the people of God receive spiritual nourishment and strength from God when we partake the Lord's Supper with understanding and self-examination. And the Lord wants us to see a similarity, right, in the Old Testament of the Passover. You remember the Passover feast that Israel partook before they left Egypt? Right? It was the beginning of the Jewish calendar year. You know, so if you look at recently, we went to an exhibition about Israel in the National Museum, right? In the Suntec City, you know, they have an exhibition on Israel, and they show, right, the year in which Israel's calendar year, you know, from the time of the Passover, right, all the way up to now. Okay, and it's significant because that's the beginning of the nation, you see. Now, God's purpose in reaching out to the nations of the world is through a nation, through the nation of Israel. And that plan to reach out to the world through the nation of Israel has not stopped. It's not nullified. But God is fulfilling that plan now. That's why we see on the 14th of May, 1948, Israel became a nation again. Impossible, right? The Hebrew language was resurrected. How was it resurrected? It was through the Old Testament scriptures, right? So we said that the Hebrew language is like a dead language, right? In the sense that every jot and tittle is written and remains written. Remember when Jesus Christ was on earth, he said, he affirmed the scriptures, right? In Luke 24:44, you remember? In Luke 24:44, he says, "These words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses," which is the first five books of the law, "in the prophets," which the historical books, the major and the minor prophets, "and in the Psalms," which is the five wisdom literature books. Okay, so all this Jesus affirmed, right, the Old Testament scriptures, right, and this is the Old Testament scriptures that was used to resurrect that nation. Okay, and today we see Israel thriving, and God has a plan for that nation, and that nation begin with the Passover, right, when God instituted the sacrifice of the lamb. The lamb, unblemished lamb, was taken. Okay, depending on the size of the family, the lamb is taken, and the lamb is killed. The blood is shed, and Christ, Moses instructed the Israelites to take the blood, remember, of the lamb to be place on the side post and the lintel of the house, so that when the death angel would pass over all of Egypt, they would escape. It's symbolic of what Christ will do, the coming Lamb of God. And the Lord wants us to be reminded of all this. Right? The feast in Israel is a reminder, right, of the Christ to come. So after they have that feast, the Passover feast, and in the New Testament church, the Lord's Supper. That's why, you know, when Christ instituted the Lord's Supper in the upper room, it was on the day of the Passover. Okay, so they had their Passover, as it were. Christ is instituting the new covenant, the covenant for the New Testament church, all right, in which the ceremonial laws of Israel will not have to be followed in the Gentile church. We're studying the book of Acts now. We are at chapter 10. When we reach chapter 15, there will be the Jerusalem Council, whereby the apostles would come together and they would say that there are only four things that that we are to observe, right? To avoid fornication, things blood, to partake of blood, things strangled, and food offered to idols. These are the four things that we are to abstain from. That's all. No more all the ceremonial rules, right? But the Jews, of course, they still follow, right? Their adultery laws, they still continue, right? But for the Gentile church, no need to follow all this, right? So the Lord wants us to know, all right, that this sacrament of the Passover is likened to the Lord's Supper in the New Testament, all right? Because the enactment of it was symbolic. You remember the lamb, right? The lamb is symbolic of the Christ who would be crucified. Okay, the blood shed, right, the killing of the lamb. So it's symbolic. So the fullness of its fulfillment is such that for you to understand the significance, right, of the forgiveness or the remission of your sins, you do not have to go and kill a lamb. Today when we come to church, right, when we ask to prepare for the Lord's Supper, we don't have to go and kill a lamb, right? That would be quite a work, right? But we have been given greater revelation concerning the meaning of the lamb, right? It's symbolic of the Christ to come. That's why the Lord simplified in that sense, for us, so that we may be able to understand the significance of it, all right? So that comparison is important for us to know as we look at the Lord's Supper with the Passover, all right? Then there is also the baptism part, right, which we mentioned concerning the baptism, that it is likened to circumcision in the Old Testament, right? Circumcision, the male child is to be circumcised on the eighth day, right? And this is directly fulfilled, right, through a water baptism in the New Testament church. And you remember the significance of the circumcision when God instructed Abraham in a vision, in a dream. He was asleep, and God caused a dead animal, right, to be placed on the ground, and he saw a lamb walking through, right, that God made a covenant with him. God made a covenant with him that he would be his God, right? And this sacrament of circumcision was instituted, right, first to Abraham and his family as a sign, right, that they are the people of God. Right? The Lord wants us to know, right, that there is a sign, right, the psalm, as a sign that they are the people of God. So the same way, when we have the baptism, right, we make a public confession. All right, that's why Paul explains. Now, the circumcision is not of the external, but of the heart. Okay, so the Lord tells us that, that circumcision, that symbolic representation that we belong to the people of God, is by what God had done for us. All right? On the cross. So we believe by faith the work of Christ. All right. And that's why you see the New Covenant, the New Testament church, everything is simplified, because we have a greater revelation from God. Okay, that we are being given more understanding, right, through time, okay, concerning God's will. All right, now you know that the Bible tells us there are the mysteries of God and there are the secret things, right? Deuteronomy 29:29. Okay, the secret things are those things that God did not reveal to us, all right, through His Word, so we don't know. Okay, but the mysteries, right, the mysteries are those things that, you know, in early days we don't know. We see that as symbols, you know. But God, through time, revealed it more fully to us, right? Initially, just, you know, for Adam and Eve, but just the coat of skin to cover them. Then, when the nation of Israel was instituted, God gave them the Passover feast. God asked them to kill the Passover lamb, you know, help them to see the symbolically, this is the Christ to come. Then, in the fullness of time, Christ came. They saw Christ crucified on the cross. This is the Lamb of God, right? So they see more clearly, you know, the mystery of God's redemption, the mystery of God's purpose of redemption. So when God revealed to us, we know, all right? That's why we thank God that we are living in this New Testament time, whereby God has completed the canon of Scriptures. Right, we know all the way until the end of time, you know, what is to come. And are we not privileged? We are privileged, right? Yeah, we are the only one given that knowledge of the end of the world, you know. Not the Jewish state, but the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, we know what is going to happen in Israel. What will happen to them in the time to come? The tribulation, the millennium, and, you know, we are such privileged people. God has revealed so much to us, and God wants us to be His witness of the greatness of the privilege of the revelation that He has entrusted to us with, to all of us. And we must take time to study. We must take time to know the whole counsel of God, especially for us living in the last days, right? And the Lord wants us to know very well, right, what we said, the eschatological aspect, right? The end days. Okay. And as we prepare ourselves, you find that we still struggle with sin, right? And God provided this means of grace for us in order that we may find a way out, right, from sin, for sin. So we are commanded, all right, to come on a monthly basis, you know, to partake the Lord's Supper. And God wants you to be consistent with all these means of grace that God has provided for you for your spiritual well-being. May we be mindful of the great privilege, and may we be willing to take time to be involved in the study and meditation of God's Word for our spiritual strengthening. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for the institution of the Lord's Supper. Thank Thee for showing us this sacrament that Thou hast given to us, that we may know that indeed there is remission of sins through Jesus Christ. And as we confess our sins before Thee, Thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and unrighteousness. We thank Thee for this means of grace, and may thou be gracious to help thy people to appropriate it for their own spiritual nourishment. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.